Hear the word of God from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of John, rather, John 14, beginning at verse 23. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Since the beginning of September, other than a couple brief tangents, we've been working a steady theme in worship on the fruit of the Spirit that Paul writes about in Galatians 5. And as Bruce went through them earlier, that list is this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's quite a list, isn't it? It's a list of things to pray that the Holy Spirit really will grow in us, growing in our lives like pumpkins growing on a vine. Listen to how Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is rephrased in the Message. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. It's that last phrase, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely, that's what we'll be focusing on today. The fruit of the Spirit called self-control. As Sid and I were out walking our dog the other night, talking about this fruit of self-control, she said something like, "Ah, self-control, not as warm and fuzzy as the other ones, is it?" Just like Bruce said this morning. Self-control carries an edge to it. Self-control is something that every one of us, at whatever age, we all wrestle with this in one way or another. Whether it's with unhealthy habits, like overeating or overdrinking or overworking or overstressing or maybe over-obsessing about money and possessions and the faults of others. Self-control is a topic that speaks into anything at all in us that we have a hard time regulating. Maybe it's our tongue and the way things come out in an unfiltered way that are harsh and hurtful, and we can't control it. Or maybe it's our expectations about others and ourselves, expectations that can quickly devolve into frustration and anger. There are all kinds of things that seem hardwired into us that seem impossible to control. Self-control speaks into the habits that we have that we keep hidden, that we don't want others to know about. All the things that we do that we can privately rationalize, but we keep hidden. Using pornography works like this. So do gambling and other addictions. Secret, hidden, rationalized, and gaining more and more control as people lose more and more control. Self-control is something that every one of us wrestles with in one way or another at whatever age. It's about anything in us that we have a hard time managing. Thus, this topic is not warm and fuzzy. Self-control and everything connected to it is such a broad, broad topic that I had a challenge this week even getting my hands around it, which way to go. Plus, I could feel the time slipping away as day by day went by, and there was this word, Tim, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Sunday is coming. And that began to focus me. The enormous self-control challenge that we all face with how to use this precious gift of time that we have. Or as I just read in the message, to marshal and direct our energies wisely and well. At this point of the year, especially this week, heading toward Thanksgiving and then on through Advent toward Christmas, how many of us already feel the pressure to get things done, to get to places, to get things organized, to do. And the clock keeps ticking. However, I'm not going to go into a predictable pastor's rant about busyness. In fact, I've made a promise to myself to try not even to use that word busyness at all, even though I just have twice now. Because it is such a given. It's a big, of course, we are all busy. We know that. So instead, I want to focus in a bit of a different direction, more of an invitation than an admonition. I've recently been reading about Sabbath keeping, that long-held practice of faith, where we're invited actually to really, for a day, to drop our pace. Or at least to slow it way, way down. And in doing so, to be reminded that we are creatures who have limits. To acknowledge that we will never, ever get everything done no matter what. And to be reminded that built into this precious life that God has given us, this precious gift of our days, built into this is a need for a balance between doing and simply being. Which is our God-created need simply to be before Him. To be before Him, not to be doing. And to be before Him in a non-distracted way. Sabbath keeping. Here's how the author I'm reading puts it. The point of Sabbath is to honor the need for a sane rhythm of work and rest. That's one to write down. A sane rhythm between work and rest. It is to honor our body's need for rest, our spirit's need for replenishment, and our soul's need to delight itself in God for God's own sake. It begins with a willingness to acknowledge the limits of our humanness and to take steps to live more graciously within the order of things. Acknowledging our limits and taking steps to live more graciously within the order of things, that smacks right into the area of self-control, or our lack of it, and our need for the Holy Spirit to grow this fruit in us. Pastors are as subject to this as everyone else, to getting out of balance with this. And I remember a time years ago when I was pretty much just bouncing on the rim, going faster and faster, like trying to go faster and faster with flat tires. And I was pushing and I wasn't paying attention to how out of balance and tired I really was. And I was visiting somebody in the hospital in Maryland. He was hooked up to IV tubes, the machinery was clicking away. And I sat down to talk with him and pray with him as his pastor. And I remember bizarrely, I remember thinking envious thoughts, thinking you just have to lay here and you have all your needs taken care of. Food, water, rest, medicine, everything you need is being taken care of. And I have to keep going and I am so tired and you're laying there resting. What a bizarre thought. He was on ICU. It was so bizarre that it ended up kind of slapping me in the face with Tim, what are you thinking? What are you doing? How did you get going this fast that you're thinking this? And I went out to my car. And I just sat and prayed and cried, asking God to slow me down and to get me off this hamster wheel that I had created. I haven't been quite to that place again, not that far. But like everything else, things can quickly and easily get out of balance and out of control with all the things that I want and ought and should get done. Am I alone here with this? Mm-mm. There's an internet acronym that curiously connects to this. FOMO. F-O-M-O. I don't know if you know this or not. It stands for fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. There was a recent and very insightful article in our denomination's magazine, The Covenant Companion, about this recently. In fact, it's in this issue with Paul Carlson on the cover, and I have about 15 copies of it, if you'd like a copy of it afterwards. The author writes that FOMO points to a compulsion in us to keep up on everything on social media. Everything. Facebook, Twitter, etc. News, trends, music, movies. The endless stream of posting by friends and strangers alike about what they're doing and what they're part of and what we're missing out on. And while social media can be a really good thing to connect with others, all this can also become a compulsive, 24/7, enormous distraction that goes way out of control. It can become an addictive need to stay plugged in 24/7, consuming all of our time and all of our attention away from here and away from the people around us, the people sitting across the table from us. When with what they offer and what they need and with what we're doing here together and with what God is doing right here, right now. It can all move us to being distractedly, obsessively combing through everything out there and not paying attention to here. Here's part of what that author wrote in the article. The continuous onslaught of social media posts overwhelms me. Taken collectively, I start to get the impression that life is passing me by, that all of my friends are having more fun, doing more meaningful work, and are surpassing me in every way. Life is happening, but it's happening out there. Fear of missing out, or FOMO, persists in the belief that the best life has to offer is somewhere else. And if that becomes a dominating, consuming, completely distracting practice or even addiction, just like so many other things can become, then how attentive are we really to what God is doing right now, right here, with you and with me and with us together, if we're always out there? And it's not just about Facebook and Twitter and social media. And it's not just about watching our diets or our tongues or our workload. It's about our susceptibility of getting way off center. That's what it's about. Our susceptibility of getting way off center. It's about how prone we are to having lesser things calling the shots in our lives and holding our attention and consuming us. It's about needing. It's about praying for this spiritual fruit of self-control to grow in us. This gift that the Holy Spirit brings, that we can't do all on our own. Praying for the Holy Spirit to rein us in from things that can lead us away from the vital, flourishing life in Jesus that we're invited into. We can't do this on our own. Not in a way that honors Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to teach us and remind us of everything Jesus taught us. And so we come back to that gospel text from John 14, where Jesus says that anyone who loves Him obeys His teaching. And people who love him pay attention. And they listen and they watch and they put his teaching into practice. And those same people know the fact of his presence right here among us in our lives. Friends, we need the recentering influence that the Holy Spirit brings. We need God's Word to reorient us in this disorienting life where things can get so out of control so fast, like weeds suddenly invading a garden that would otherwise be healthy. Maybe for you, it's a habit of moving way too fast. Continually getting stuff done and getting good stuff done, but not really taking any time, much less a full day, for Sabbath rest, which is one of God's commandments. Being still and knowing that I am God, he said. Pray for the Holy Spirit to take control of this. Sabbath keeping is one of God's built-in braking systems for healthy control. For us to acknowledge the limits of our humanness and to take steps to live more graciously within the order of things that he has given to us. Maybe where you need recentering has to do with unplugging from the internet, at least for a while, and not just when you're sleeping. Asking God to refocus you. To refocus you simply on being here, not out there. To be attentive to the people around you and to what God's doing in our midst. Maybe where you need recentering or reorientation has to do with those things that have an over attached as a prefix. Overworking, overeating, overdrinking, overworrying, over-whatevering. Whatever it might be, pray for the Holy Spirit to grow greater self-control, this spiritual fruit he brings. And while there are a lot of practical steps to take to rein in our overages and our excesses, at the core is the need to give all of these things, to give all of ourselves over to Jesus and invite him to be truly the king over all of us. I'll close with this. In the book I'm reading that includes that part about Sabbath keeping, the author writes about becoming increasingly alert to the God-directed desires that we have. She writes, "Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of transformation in your life than you've experienced so far, all of this is the truest thing about you. It's the truest thing about you. You might think other things are your job, your role as wife or husband or friend or mother or father or whatever it is, maybe your sins. You may think those are the truest thing about you, but in reality, it's your desire for God and for more of him that is the deepest essence of who you are. Pray, will you? Pray for the deepest essence of who you are, your desire for God and for more of him. Pray for this to be the fuel for reigning in those parts of you that are out of control or out of focus, out of alignment. And that the Holy Spirit would do this. Let's pray. Lord, we all have issues. We know that. And we need your help in all kinds of different ways. In our life before you, in our life with others, in our life alone. God, we pray that you would reign as our Lord, as our King. That your Holy Spirit would take root in new and fresh and powerful ways. That the deepest essence of who we are might shine forth as new creations in you. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.